Kunstradio. Radiokunst.
I'm sure Warman has a story, but I don't know it. I can only ignorantly play music in my attempt to be here.
Last Day at Turkey Creek ist ein Radioessay des australischen Künstlers und Musikers Jim Denley, der bevorzugt im Freien musiziert, zum Teil mit selbstgebauten Windinstrumenten. Das Stück präsentieren wir in der heutigen Ausgabe von Kunstradio Radiokunst, zu der sie Anna Socek willkommen heißt. Jim Denley unterscheidet nicht zwischen seinen Rollen als Instrumentalist, als Komponist oder als improvisierender Musiker. Er ist Mitbegründer der elektroakustischen Text- und Musikgruppe Machine for Making Sense. Für seine Radio-Feature Collaborations für den australischen Rundfunk ABC hat Denley 1989 den Prix Italia gewonnen und bei der Ars Electronica in Linz wurde er in der Kategorie Digital Musics mit einem Anerkennungspreis geehrt. Es folgt ein Auszug aus seinem Stück A Walk in a Palm Forest with My Sax, das am 13. November 2005 im Kunstradio gesendet wurde. Ausgestattet mit an seinen Knien angebrachten Mikrofonen machte Jim Denley einen Spaziergang durch einen Palmenwald an der Küste von Queensland und spielte währenddessen auf seinem Altsaxophon. A Walk in the Palm Forest with My Sax von Jim Denley 2005. Wir freuen uns, Ihnen nun eine neue Arbeit des australischen Künstlers präsentieren zu dürfen. Wiederum bewegt er sich, Aufnahmen machend, im Außenraum. 6 Wochen lang lebte er in der kleinen Gemeinde Warman, auch Turkey Creek genannt, in Westaustralien. Zwischen riesigen Termitenbauten und gigantischen Affenbrotbäumen wanderte Denley mit seinem Saxophon und einem Aufnahmegerät durch die Landschaft und machte Audioaufnahmen. Diese kommentierte er tagebuchartig und selbstreflexiv. Hören Sie nun das Stück Last Day at Turkey Creek in der Dauer von 48 Minuten.
I'm standing just outside of Turkey Creek in the Kimberley in northwestern Australia. Dusk is descending on my last day. But of course, you're listening to two locations now. This voiceover was recorded 6 weeks later from my apartment in Sydney. You can probably hear my breathing, maybe too heavily. 3 years ago, I suffered a heart attack, then bypass surgery. After the operation, the first thing I did was to listen to some of my favorite records. I wept with joy. My father bought a reel-to-reel tape recorder into our house sometime in the late 60s. Sound recording has been central to how I am in the world ever since. But another location is coming up. Here's another dusk where some weeks before I recorded myself playing with the crickets in the space between Mirralinki and Warman. Sound recording is a sort of time travel. Thank you. Back to my last day in Turkey Creek. I walked towards the roadhouse. I said that sound recordings are how I am in the world. It's how I engage with place, playing my sax between these two mountains and hearing the reflections, listening back later. Merleau-Ponty says, man is in the world, and only in the world does he know himself. Recording becomes my archive of plunging into the world. If you catch a Greyhound bus or look this place up on Google, here is called Turkey Creek, but its real name is Warmun, W-A-R-M-U-N. The old people pronounce it Warmun. Some of our notation systems are not exactly high fidelity. Warmun is also the name of the mountain that rises above the plain behind the donga where I sleep. The traditional owners are the Gidja people. Some of the old people still speak the language, Gidja. I've been here 6 weeks running music workshops, jamming with Gidja kids. Tomorrow at dawn, I get the Greyhound bus to Kununurra Airport. I'm close to the roadhouse now. You can hear some of the massive road trains that go up and down the highway. But hang on, this is taking far too long. It's time for an edit. I'm just about to bump into Karen, a nurse who is my neighbour in Donga number 2. She's coming back from the roadhouse with her dinner.
Hey!
Okay.
Silverside! Comfort food! Did you get some good sound?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Great.
See you later.
Remind me to tell her the next time I see her that her
food
was one of the best sounds I got. I move towards a group of the kids that I play music with each day. They're eating chicken and chips from the roadhouse.
Hey, Jim.
Hey. How you doing? It's a quine.
Hi.
How's it going?
Stop. Jim.
Yeah.
What you listening to? You're buying a cigarette.
I'm not going to buy you a cigarette.
No, you're joking. That's how they are.
Yeah?
18, but she's short for 8.
Yeah?
But she's 19, 1 month now, 1 year older.
Duquesne seems to be obsessed by everyone's age.
I'm 16.
Okay. How old are you?
Turning 16, that's it.
Yeah?
I'm turning 17.
17?
But we're short for 8.
No, he's 14, he's turning 15.
Yeah, and I'm 19.
Hi. You and you.
30.
56.
What is that?
It's a tape recorder.
Can
I have a listen?
I give the kids the headphones so that they can monitor the recording. They're fascinated by what you can hear through the microphones. And after the initial dispute over who gets to wear them, they start whispering and performing to test.
Not recording, I'm listening to them.
Yeah.
You can listen to people. I can hear the Muriga
Kong Kong. The beef.
Yeah.
Big
what the?
Oh.
I didn't hear you.
Hey.
I'm here. Is he recording?
Yeah, it's recording.
Give me, I'll just go around it. What am I saying?
What are you doing?
This time, look at
this. This time, Jim got butt.
Well, Jim,
where are you from?
Sydney.
Are you recording?
What am I saying?
Here's some of the music we've been playing together in the workshops.
This is rock and roll in a gym, okay?
In my time off from these crazy jam sessions, I've been able to walk around the country with my sax and recording device. One day I climbed Mount Wahman to play. From here you can look down on the town. I can see the helicopter pad where the tourist flights to the Bungle Bungles depart. The police station. The school. The giant baobab trees. The clinic. The basketball court. The wallless chapel where mass is celebrated each Monday evening. The aged care unit. The early childhood centre. The neat, new government-built houses of the Gidja. The council headquarters. The footy oval, the pool. The bridge over Turkey Creek. The famous Wahman Art Centre. Around me on the mountain are giant termite mounds amidst the spinifex and red rocks. And a little further down, the gorgeous bright red fleshy flowers and black trunk of Kimberley rose trees. If I look further southeast across the plain, I see the mountains towards Texas, not Texas, USA. I'm sure Wahman has a story, but I don't know it. I can only ignorantly play music in my attempt to be here. My being here with music is a pretty hermetic activity compared to the music jams with the kids. Nobody knows I'm here. But you know I was there now. Tape recorders have a way of creating an instant future crowd.
Thank you.
On my last morning in Waman, a mob of us travelled in three troopies to Winnipeg Springs. It's permanent water in a gorge in the mountains, about 2 hours rough road from Waman. To be here and to swim in the water, I have to be welcomed by an elder. It's a sort of baptism. After being welcomed, I head up the watercourse. In bare feet, the kids skip across the river stones and have already raced ahead to where they can jump from a large rock into the pool. With the storm comes an exodus. If the big rain comes, nobody wants to be caught in this ravine. I have to get dressed and I'm slowed down by my recording device. Suddenly everyone's gone.
Yeah.
I head down towards the troopies. When I get to the troopies, most of the kids are ready to go, but they question me, "Did you get properly welcomed?" Because for them, the storm came because of something we did. I told them I had been welcomed, and they seemed confused. It's only later, 6 weeks later, when I'm making this program, that it occurs to me that there was an uninitiated presence. The tape recorder. In a strange loop, you, the listener, were a ghostly presence at Winnipeg Springs.
I thought that string was on there for a reason.
This worldview, that there is a metaphysical explanation for events like storms, is not something I'd normally consider. But thinking back to my post-op joy at listening to my favourite discs, it's clear that some recordings have a massive place in my heart. They are powerful cultural objects. One LP in particular, Last Date, recorded June the 2nd, 1964, by Eric Dolphy, 27 days before he tragically died of a diabetic coma, is particularly poignant. On the LP, Dolphy speaks, and I have no idea if this is a post-production voiceover, or if he actually just walked up to the mics at the gig and said,
"When you hear music, after it's over, it's gone in the air. You can never capture it again."
Which is paradoxically true and not true at the same time. Dolphy's music, for me, has been the audio object recorded that day, an object that kept Dolphy's music alive. Derek Bailey once said to me that recordings produce a quite striking byproduct. Dolphy and Bailey's comments acknowledge that the recording, however high fidelity, does not equate to the event. Fine. But the byproduct can have a life of its own. A life powerful enough to capture Dolphy's music and conjure a storm. That night, my last in Wyoming, I couldn't sleep. So sitting outside my donga, I listened to the night. I'm just putting my sock over the microphones. There's a little bit of a breeze starting now because it's just pre-dawn. I mean, sometimes I can hear my breath against the microphones because I'm so close to them. Can you hear that? Like I'm just moving my head a little bit from left to right. So it's 4:21 now. I was going to wake up at 4:30, so it's only 10 minutes time and I'll be awake. And then I'll have to get ready to leave this place. We're hearing the truck start up and my wake up alarm. I should be waking up now because it's time to go. It's 4:30 and in 55 minutes I gotta get the bus.
That's the road train just started up. He does that every morning at 4:30. This road train is probably going off to cart nickel ore from the Savannah mine, the same mine that paid for me to be here and play music with the young Gidja. I find it difficult to accept that storms are conjured by a tape recorder's presence, even if it was me who suggested it. But clearly our technologies have a big effect in the world. Because as Merleau-Ponty and the Gidja kids suggest, we are not objective observers. We are in the world, and vice versa. Certain places, at certain times, can be powerfully in us. Okay, so it's now 3 minutes to 5. And just packing everything up. Checking the fridge. Okay, that's it. I'm leaving my donga. Standing just near a very beautiful baobab tree. On my right, there's some flat ground, and then Mirilinki rises up from the plain. And on my left, Mount Warman rises up. And then there's a sort of floodplain in between the two, where Turkey Creek runs through. Yeah, just looking at it for the last time.
Last Day at Turkey Creek von Jim Denley. Nach diesem Hörausflug nach Australien begeben wir uns in den letzten Sendungsminuten noch in einen ganz anderen Erdteil, nämlich nach Mali. In dem westafrikanischen Land hat der französische Soundkünstler und Tonmeister Felix Blume 2 Monate mit Angehörigen des Fula-Volkes verbracht. Aus seinen Aufnahmen hat er ein Hörstück gemischt, das er beim Grazer Projekt Personal Soundscapes eingereicht hat. Mehr dazu nach dem folgenden Ausschnitt der Produktion von Arte Radio. Cows and the Fula People von Felix Blume ist Teil des Projekts Personal Soundscapes, das für das Musikprotokoll im steirischen Herbst initiiert wurde. Teilnehmen kann jeder, indem man einfach Soundscapes, ob aus nah oder fern, auf die Website personal-soundscapes.mur.at rauflädt. Diese Feldaufnahmen und Kompositionen sollen dokumentieren, wie akustischer Alltag sich anhört. Sie werden für einen Workshop mit Schülerinnen und Schülern verwendet und dienen auch als Grundlage für eine Kunstradiosendung mit Volkmar Klien, die am 6. Oktober live aus Graz kommt. Alle Informationen und einen Link zu der mit Sounds bereits reich bestückten Weltkarte von Personal Soundscapes gibt es auf
kunstradio.at.
Auf Wiederhören, sagt Anna Socek. Redaktion Elisabeth Zimmermann, Technik Günter Hunold.